The money music. That means it's time for our money man. It's the golf business and law segment sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And I am not a lawyer. I am a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. Joining us as he does each and every week is the sports professor, Rick Caro, who is the visiting expert on sports law at Harvard. You can see him each week on both CNN and ESPN. And you can, of course, listen to him each week in this very time slot. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. How are you? And Mr. Rooney, good morning to you. You're one of the people that I look forward to talking to for the whole week every Sunday.
Rick, I just want to know, have you ever taken all your clothes off to hit a golf shot?
Where did that come from? I have no idea. And the fact that you would ask that out of left field means that my attempt to be nice to you fell on deaf ears. So we're going back.
It's already over. It's already over.
That was a reference to Henrik Stenson, the Swedish golfer who on Thursday down at Doral disrobed all the way to his boxer briefs. He had all he was wearing to play a golf shot out of a hazard down at Doral on Thursday was his boxer briefs and his golf club, and that's it.
Shirt, no cap, no nothing.
Did he get out of the hazard?
He actually made bogey on the hole. He ended up making bogey five on the par four. So it was a good job by him. Now, here we go. Before we get into the sports gambling story, and I definitely want to get into that, last week, speaking of sports gambling, last week you gave us a great tip on UNC over Duke, and I think you were exactly right on the point spread. I think you said they'd win by 8, and I think they did win by 8. But my question is, did you have FSU over UNC last night?
Yeah, well, they won by 12, and it was a fantastic game. And I called both Dean Smith and Roy Williams and said, you know, Lawson's down. You don't really need this game. You're going to be a one seed anyway. So sit him out and, you know, take your lumps. And come next weekend, you'll be better than ever. And he took my advice.
Hey, Rick, you know, that's an interesting point. I know we want to get into gambling here. But my dad was telling me after Pitt got beat by West Virginia in the first game of the Big East, he was basically saying, you know, Pitt was terrible. That's it's a disgrace. And my whole thing is, I don't know if these coaches really – you know, try and get the guys up for these tournament games because, like Russ just said, you know, Pitt's probably going to be a number one seed or probably number two at the worst, no matter what they really did in that tournament. So, in a way, why don't they get rest? Get rest from the conference tournament and not get all beat up during that thing. Give yourself a week off and then get ready for the real tournament.
Well, here's the call on that: the ACC regular season championship, and I know the Big East and others are the same way. You know, what about Connecticut? I mean, try really hard. They have a six overtime game. Who knows how that's going to impact them? And it's almost like what happens now with the Big Ten and the Pac-10 as far as the conference championships on the football side. If you don't play that championship, you increase your likelihood of getting into the BCS or being number one. You stay healthy, and it may be the same kind of thing in basketball as well. So here's a quick one before you ask the next question. Weather report heading down to Doral. There is a major storm for about a mile on 95 in the turnpike, and then we're going to be fine. How's that? You get more than you bargained for right now.
Well, it looks kind of cloudy up here in Palm Beach County, so hoping that the weather is a little bit better there down south about 50 or 60 miles. Rick Caro joining us on the line en route to Doral for today's final round of the CA Championship. The sports professor joins us each and every week during our golf business and law segment, sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Rick, a story a couple days ago in ESPN, the magazine says Delaware Governor Jack Markell is poised to call for his state to legalize gambling on sports. The move would, for the first time in over 30 years, make sports gambling legal east of the Mississippi River. How big a story is this if this actually ends up going through?
Well, governor proposing something doesn't automatically mean it's law, as we know, but it would be huge as the next step because, remember, we had all of these moralistic pontifications about how gambling is going to ruin society until, A, the Indian casinos and the Constitution allowed very little control over that. And then we knew that many states did that as a response, but we drew the line on sports books, and that's where the leagues could still say, if you do sports books, we ain't going to your state. Well, Wilmington is not going to get a major league franchise soon, so that's not going to impact that. But it's a budget issue like everything else. If we find free money, then let's do it. Some state budgets say. But this is a reverse stimulus package because what it does is it takes people's dollars and puts it into the gambling coffers. Now, if they go back and use it on infrastructure and otherwise, it's almost like increasing taxes. But that's too big of an argument. The point is watch this very carefully because this would be a big start.
Rick, do we, if they do legalize it there, do we see more states that are in similar situations like Delaware? And you've seen a state like West Virginia, which is very progressive in allowing different types of gambling. Do you see more states like a West Virginia or somewhere else up there start allowing sports betting?
And Pat, you know that's a pretty good example because there's been a lot of discussion over there at Mountaineer Park, you know that, about 40 minutes west of Pittsburgh, to start doing a whole lot of stuff. And everybody's going to be poised to look at that. A few reasons, obviously. The horse racing industry has problems itself. Magna, the horse racing company, has gone belly up. Churchill Downs increased its revenues because of slots they have around the country. So it's not just the states, but it's all of the other entrepreneurs who are doing this. We'll cover a lot of the, you know, horse racing industry and why they need that around Derby time as well.
The sports professor Rick Haro joining us here on the line during our golf, business, and law segment sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And I'm not a lawyer. I am a non-lawyer spokesperson. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. Rick, as of right now, I know Vegas is a hot spot for sports gambling. Is Vegas right now the only spot in the continental United States where sports gambling is legal? And why do we see gambling on horses and dogs and cards and poker and things like that so prevalent? But, you know, here locally, of course, in South Florida and other parts, but the gambling on sports not as prevalent.
Well, and Pat knows the answer. Atlantic City was trying to do some of that stuff, but that didn't happen. And so, you know, first of all, the numbers that I've been using that we've seen to be on the level, and again, nobody knows. That's the answer. Over $300 billion, bet annually by U.S. Interest in the U.S. For all kinds of sports-related betting, on only a fraction of that is legal in Vegas. So obviously a lot of it is non-reported because you're not going to look at tax returns and look at that. And so why is sports betting not part of it and other kind of betting is? Well, there's this moral issue. Why a few years ago did we not have teams and stadiums say we're going to take signage from casinos or otherwise? Over a five-year period, you realize that $44 million has come in from casino-related sponsorships. I'm only saying that when this kind of thing happens, it happens very quickly. Because as everything else in our life right now, it's follow the money. You know, by the way, when we get to the British Open time in mid-July, let's remind ourselves to talk about how big betting on golf is at the British Open over there.
Right, right.
Well, the other thing is, Rick, you have betting on sports, and not just on, like, the player X is going to win the game or win the golf tournament. You've got all these goofy over-unders on various things that are really ridiculous around the world, and those societies don't seem to be crumbling. So I don't understand, really, even from a moral issue, at this stage in our collective as a society maturation, why this is still taboo when you have something like the lottery out there, which you have no one really has a chance to win, and that seems to be prevalent in much more instances around, you know, this country than something like sports betting, where, you know, and I'm not saying I'm pro or against it, but at least you can do some handicapping or whatever you think a certain team that you follow, you have a better chance of handicapping that per se and giving yourself a chance to win than you do with something like the lottery, I believe. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, here's my thought. You know, we can get into a whole moral argument, and we can go back to the 1920s about prohibition and moral arguments about victimless crimes and all that. But at the end of the day, this is a very practical business discussion, not a moral discussion. And we've long since left that argument about whether we're going to have gambling or not now. I'm on the turnpike now, and I see a sign for Isle Casino and horse racing. And I'll see one down the road a few minutes from now for the Hard Rock Cafe.
Right.
So you're right. What's the difference? That's the bottom line.
He is the sports professor, Rick Haro. He joins us each and every week here on Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic during our golf, sports, business, and law segment, sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And I'll say it again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. Make sure to check out Rick's weekly blog and podcast at msn.foxsports.com, and you can see him each and every week on CNN and ESPN in living color. Rick, as always, thank you very much. Have a great day down there at Doral.
All right, man. You too. Living color. Bye.
There he is, Rick Haro, the sports professor, joining us as he does each and every week here on Golf Exchange.